make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Donna Stein.
And this is Ecologic for September 10th, 2019, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
The WBAI Fund Drive is over, but you can still help WBAI and Ecologic by going to www.give2wbai.org. You can type eco-logic, ecologic, into the search box at www.give2, that's the number two, wbai.org. Coming up on today's news and announcements, parks for kids, the cost of climate denial, eco music at People's Voice Cafe, beating back fossil fuel with solar, mainstream verbal coup, anti-environment Democrats, Amnesty International, and the Brazilian rainforest.
I have some delightful news. I was at a meeting in Rockland County Sunday with a coalition working to oppose fossil fuel infrastructure, dirty power plants, government secrecy, and nuclear power, while working for government transparency, citizen input on policy, renewable energy, and energy efficiency. I asked about the gas companies that are trying to stop opposition to pipeline infrastructure by denying gas to new buildings. Three people from three different groups told me that the gas company's strategy had the opposite effect. Those buildings are being put up with very efficient electric stoves run on solar power. They're solarizing entire buildings so they don't need the gas or as much electricity. I was wondering why I hadn't heard any more on the gas company's blackmail. That's because it didn't work. It backfired on them. We got a victory.
If you've ever enjoyed a city park, you're going to want to hear this. There is a bill, Intro 1524, to ban Roundup and other toxic pesticides from New York City parks and public spaces. Seems like a no-brainer, right, folks? No, we need a bill. This bill is especially to protect children and pets, but it also protects bees and butterflies and birds. Please call your city council representative to get 1524 passed. If you don't know who your city council rep is, call 311. There are only 19 co-sponsors so far out of a possible 51. How is that possible? If you're out of New York City, call the mayor's office to support it at 212-788-7585. You don't want to be breathing or walking in that poison either when you're visiting or just coming out of work. Call 212-788-7585. Bill 1524. And for more information, you can always go to www.parksforkidsnyc.org, and it'll be listed on EcoLink's page.
Right. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of times, no brainer seems to be no brains. There's an excellent environmental singer-songwriter, Michael Glick, who will be a featured performer at the People's Voice Cafe on Saturday, September 21st at 8 p.m., 40 East 35th Street, downstairs or down the elevator. We'll play one of his songs at 853. So that's Saturday, September 21st, 8 p.m., 40 East 35th Street. And in 2 weeks, the NYU School of Law has several panel discussions on the theme of paying for it, estimating and responding to the cost of climate inaction. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Vanderbilt Hall, 40 Washington Square South. That's Tuesday, September 24th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 40 Washington Square South.
Every time there is legislation passed or proposed that will pollute air or water or ruin the balance of nature, mainstream corporate news often says, environmentalists are opposed. That's it. Not why we're opposed or anything like that, though they'll talk about why the people who want more pollution think it's a good idea. They're pulling off quite a verbal coup when they do that, right? Not only is the story not balanced, but it paints environmentalists as some sort of separate species from everybody else. Yet every single poll ever made asking if people want or to spend more money or less money to clean up or to keep clean the air and water or protect wildlife or support renewable energy, that poll shows overwhelming support for environmental issues. So obviously, we're the mainstream, whether they want to admit it or not. When they say environmentalists are opposed, we should interpret it as almost everyone is opposed.
Yeah. One of the many differences between Republicans and Democrats is that the Democratic Party doesn't like to run candidates against incumbents, but the Republicans will. This allows the Republicans to be more in touch with their base than Democrats are. There are countless stories from all over the country with people running in primaries against Democratic incumbents being told, "We don't do that." This also moves the Democratic Party closer to the money people and away from their constituents. Then there are the cases where the Democrats won't even support candidates running for open seats if they're progressive. Environmental issues are often key to that. There is an article by Jake Johnson on commondreams.org and one by Aida Chavez and Akela Lacey on TheIntercept.com of progressive Democrats in Colorado running on a platform of Medicare for All and a Green New Deal, being told by multiple campaign consultants that they had been warned they would not get any more work in Washington if they helped those Democrats. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont has complained about the policy of the Democrats working against progressives. So has Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida. The Democratic National Committee is indeed backing a pro-fracking candidate for Colorado senator. I know I will get criticism for criticizing the Democratic Party bosses, but if we are to reverse climate chaos, it would go faster if we got support in Washington, and that support will only rarely come from Republican politicians.
It's absurd that the Democratic Party is not supporting green issues and instead supporting fracking.
Yeah, right?
Amnesty International is not considered an environmental group, but they do connect the dots if there are environmental issues involved, such as with the fires in the Brazilian rainforest. quoting their press release, deforestation in the territories Amnesty visited has doubled this year compared to the same time period in 2018 because of illegal invaders who are felling trees, starting forest fires, and attacking indigenous communities living there. The responsibility to stop the wildfires that have been raging in the Amazon rainforest for several weeks now lies squarely with President Bolsonaro and his government. Campaigning for the protection of the human rights of indigenous peoples is key to preventing further deforestation. We must stand together behind the indigenous communities and leaders across the Amazon region from Brazil to Ecuador and beyond. For them, the Amazon is more than the lungs of the world. It's their home. The entire press release with action points that you can take is on the EcoLinks page.
And on the next EcoLogic, we'll be talking about what's going on at the United Nations for Climate Week and more on youth activism. Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network two Sundays after EcoLogic airs and is usually a video version of EcoLogic. Different cable providers have different channels, but they all air Environment TV at 11 a.m. every other Sunday. Charlie Olson adds great graphics. If you miss any WBAI show, it'll be on the WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of EcoLogic from the past few years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the EcoLogic website, www.ecoradio.org. EcoRadio.org. Our Facebook page is WBAI EcoLogic, no spaces or dashes. WBAI EcoLogic. And please click like. For more environmental news, go to theenvironmenttv.com, biologicaldiversity.org, or ecowatch.com. www.ecoradio.org is the main EcoLogic page, and from there you can go to the past guest page, the EcoLinks page, and our own permanent archives. ecoradio.org will get you there. And you know, we talk about legislation on this show rather often, and we sort of address in sound bites, really, how to get it. You know, oh, we'll call this number and tell them you want it passed. But there can be a lot more to it than that, especially if you're taking a leadership role, and that's what we'll be going into. I'm Ken Gale.
And Donna Stein.
And with us we have...
Lengto.
From...
United for Action.
Sally Gellert from a wide array of environmental groups. How effective I am, I don't know.
Sally is one of the busiest activists that the entire state of New Jersey has. and just absolutely amazing that she manages to do as much as she does. I mean, I know you have the same 24-hour day as the rest of us. How do you get so much more done in it? I don't know.
Lack of other, lack of obligations otherwise.
And because Sally is so busy on so many things, she's great at connecting the dots and how environmental issues relate to other things, which I absolutely love the way she does it. And the meeting I talked about on Sunday where we got the great news that the gas companies have stopped blackmailing. Sally was at that meeting too.
Yeah.
You're making a blush.
So Ling, I'll start with you. How do we do it?
How do we do it? Okay. Before I take a bill through, I think just to have a general idea, New York City Council is the legislative body that makes laws that govern New York, and the speaker of the city council, to many, is considered the second most important or powerful politicians after the mayor in New York City. And currently, the speaker of the city council is Corey Johnson. He represents the Hell's Kitchen, the Chelsea district. And there are 51 council members, and out of the 51, 48 are Democrats and 3 are Republicans. One in Queens and 2 in Staten Island. Now, just so you know, the city council members are term limited. If they are elected after 2010, they are limited to two terms, two consecutive terms. And then after a gap of 4 years, then they can, you know, run for city council again.
Oh.
So that's just a general picture of the city council. Now, if you have a bill and you want this to become a law, the thing to do is you need to find a city council member to introduce the bill for you. And this city council member can be anybody, really. And just because it's an environmental bill doesn't necessarily mean that the bill has to be introduced by someone who's on the Environmental Protection Committee. All right. So if you have a relationship with a city council member, that would be a good place to start. If not, then you can always start with your own council member. And it is very helpful if you have a draft of a bill you want to introduce. All right.
What do you mean draft of a bill?
Meaning that you actually write the bill yourself. Because then you, at least you start with a language that you would like. Because, but don't be surprised though, at the end, if it does become law, many, many times the language are not going to be the same as when you started it. Because there are lots of compromises on the way.
Well, let's face it, ALEC does that at the federal level. They write all the conservative bills, so it's time for us to take a turn and our language in there.
That's right. I mean, actually, the activists have written some languages. I mean, like, I worked on the, it's actually a law now that banned using fracking waste on New York City roads because I didn't, even though in 2014, at the end of 2014, Governor Cuomo, you know, his D.C. banned fracking in New York State. But New York State still imports fracking waste from Pennsylvania and used on, you know, road salt or dust suppressor in many counties. So I wanted to make sure that it doesn't happen in New York City. And it... We worked with City Council member Steve Levin on this bill because he was interested. I mean, I think that the thing to do is
office is a block from where you're sitting right now.
Oh. you really need to find a City Council member who is interested in your issue because that is really critical. And we worked with a lawyer who works for a riverkeeper at the time to help us draft the language we wanted for the bill. And then we presented that to Steve Levin. So, but you don't have to do that, of course. You can leave it to the city council member because they all have legal staff. They can draft the language. But, you know, if you wanted to have a say, I think it's much better to be proactive about it.
An example is the bill we talked about at the beginning of this show. To ban Roundup and other toxic poisons in city parks and playgrounds because the person who introduced it was Councilman Ben Kalos from the Upper East Side, who is not on the Environment Committee, but he's the one who introduced this bill.
Right.
And it was written partly by his staff and partly by the staff of the Environmental Law and Justice Project. Mm. They also contributed the writing to this.
Right.
And Joel Kupferman and the people he works with, Annie Wilson and others, do a wonderful job of writing language that we all would love, but they know how to write it in a way that the lawyers on the city council like.
Legalese,
yes. Yeah. So we do have friends on our side who can help us.
Yes, and also... I mean, in the city council, there are legal staff and there are certain people who work with certain committee. So like, you know, Samara, she had been working in the city council legal, you know, staff for a long, long time. She had worked with several.
What's your last name?
Samara. Watson. Thank you, Charlie.
I've heard her speak before. She's amazing.
She is
Samara
amazing.
Swanson, yeah.
Samara Swanson. She's a encyclopedia. I mean, she knows the history of City Council and the Environmental Protection Committee. She's worked with several chair of the committee.
Yeah. I think that shows how fantastic she is. that when a new chair comes in, they keep her.
Well, she actually teaches a lot of them, and she really brings them along too, right? So that's a starting place. And the thing is, when a bill is introduced, and the most important person you need to work with is, in addition to the city council person who introduced the bill, is really his or her legal legislative director. Because they're the ones, if they're good, they're going to help you push for it. And so once the bill's introduced, it usually is referred to a committee. And the committee, I guess it all depends on the person, the city council member who introduced the bill, and the chairperson of the committee. So they have to have an agreement. And so a bill could be referred to the Environmental Protection Committee, or, so for example, to ban the single-use plastic bag. It's an environmental issue, but it was actually pushed and referred to the Sanitation Committee. Because the Sanitation Committee chair was very interested in the bill to reduce the waste in New York City.
I'm sure they clean up a lot of those and would be glad to not have them.
We would see the result come March 1st, 2020, because they had a long, twisted history, and we finally are going to get there in about six more months. So,
Sally, how would you compare what Ling was saying in New York City with New Jersey?
Well, New Jersey is a home rule state with a lot of towns. Bergen County alone has 70, 71 towns. We've got 500 or 600 towns in the state. So we probably do more at the county and state level down in Trenton. Not to say that there aren't a lot of town resolutions that people get involved in, but it's hard to do so many of them.
What is the procedure?
One of the groups I work with is Lackawanna Coalition, which is actually a rail advocacy group. And we tried to do a day in Trenton, and we went down to talk to a whole bunch of senators and assembly folk, and we made some appointments, and we found that basically their offices are at home. It didn't work. If you want to talk to Trenton legislators, talk to them in their hometowns. They're much easier to reach there. County freeholders have meetings in Bergen. It's every other Wednesday evening, and people often go and make comments on something that's pending or something they'd like to see. We had big turnouts when the Tennessee Gas Pipeline was proposed. Unfortunately, the freeholders ignored us, but it happens.
I know the Pilgrim Pipeline people in New Jersey have had some wonderful successes.
They've done really well, yeah. They work with New York, too, because that's, they break these things up and call them multiple names, and this way they can avoid the National Environmental Protection Act, NEPA. They don't have to do the big review because it's only this little thing, right? Except it gets added to all the other little things. So that's, something to watch out for.
I've been praising the Pilgrim Pipeline activist for quite a while.
Yep.
Some of my favorites. It's like a template for how to win.
Yeah. We have another big pipeline issue, a couple of them right now. The Williams-Tranco pipeline is proposing an expanded compressor station in Roseland. For a compressor station that's used about 6 days a year, they want to double the capacity. Nobody really understands why, other than maybe pushing through natural gas to be liquefied and moved overseas. We don't know, but it's in a residential neighborhood. The high school had to be evacuated at one point because it had a flare that was scary. So this makes no sense. There's a community day on Saturday, the 14th.
The compressor station do?
It increases the pressure of the natural gas that is being pushed through the line so they can get more gas through faster. Of course, this is a 60-year-old pipeline. So the Essex County executive, Joseph DiVincenzo, lives in town and saying, not a good idea. And for a county executive to say that is impressive. We don't get that often. The mayor also of Roseland is opposed. Down in South Jersey, they're fighting a pipeline in the Pine Lands. And we just got good news about Penn East. The district court, the federal court, said that the Penn East company cannot use eminent domain on New Jersey state land because of sovereign immunity. So while we sometimes have problems with sovereign immunity because, for instance, they had to waive it so that employees of New Jersey Transit who are injured can sue the state, so that in that case, we don't want them to have sovereign immunity. In this case, we do want them to have it because it protects the public lands. So it's complicated.
Yeah. and we will be taking your phone calls. So I'm sure that as Ling and Sally are giving information, you have a lot of questions. So we will be taking your phone calls later on in the show.
You can call 212-209-2877.
And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
Ling Zhou.
Sally Gellert.
And we're talking about how we get things done. Can you think of any successes?
Well, let me just finish talking about how a bill actually becomes law. How's that? So after a bill is introduced and it's referred to a committee, then it's up to the chair of that committee working together with the speaker of the city council to schedule a hearing, because a bill cannot come to the city council floor for a vote without a hearing. So a hearing must be held where they solicit public comments on the bill. Once the hearing is held, then they can actually schedule a vote. Now, again, the speaker is really important, because if he or she doesn't want to, the bill will never come to a floor for a vote. So it's up to the chair of the committee plus the speaker together working out when to put the bill on the floor for a vote. It takes a simple majority to pass a law, for the bill to become law. So you need 26 votes. If you have 34 sponsors of a bill, then even if the speaker or the mayor do not want a hearing must be held. And also 34 sponsor, meaning 34 votes, will override a veto from the mayor.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What's the approximate time frame that we can hope for?
That really depends on the
getting the sponsors.
The thing is, as I said in the beginning, that the city council member who introduced the bill is really key, because we can absolutely, as advocates, and we have done that for many bills, we, mobilize people to call various council members and, set up meetings and meet with their staff and try to push for it. But the most effective one will come from the sponsor, because they can send and call their colleagues, or, what I would say is a dear colleague letter that they can send out to their colleagues asking them to sign on. Because so the person who introduced the bill is really key, plus the chair of the committee. Time frame. When I talked about that fracking waste bill, it took almost 4 years before it was finally put to the floor for a vote.
Aren't you going then into somebody else's, the coming and goings of council members being voted in and voted out?
Yes, because
new people to talk to?
Well, the thing is, when a bill is introduced, each session of the council is 4 years once they're elected. So now they're in the 2017 to 2021 session. So a bill is introduced in the four-year session. It can be passed any time during that 4 year. If it doesn't get passed, then the next session when it begins, if we want this bill again, they will have to reintroduce it. So in the beginning of this program, when Ken mentioned, or Donna mentioned, that Roundup bill, it was actually introduced by Ben Kalos in the last session. It never even had a hearing. So the advocates had to work with him, and they actually reintroduced it in this current session.
Right. And it has a new bill number.
Has a new bill number. Whenever it's reintroduced in a new session, it has a new bill number. Yes, correct.
In Trenton, we have a two-year cycle. So, yeah, everything does.
So the council members...
Sally, if you can't pass a bill in 2 years...
It has to be reintroduced for the next session.
Many times. Sometimes a bill can kick around in going from session to session, yes.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many bills I look up and it's like, oh, yeah, that was, it had this bill number and that bill number, and nobody really...
That would have been good.
They want to have the publicity of introducing it, but they don't really want to pass it, so it just sits there. Like, driver's licenses for immigrants in New Jersey. Or for those of us who don't want our stuff in the federal database.
Yeah.
So now the council members listen... They like to hear from their constituents because they're who elects them or who can work for them to get elected even better. But so there's two things in play. We want to talk to any council member who's got a like-minded to what you're trying to work on. And if your constituent is even better. But it's important to talk to your council members, and it's important to talk to council members that have an interest that you think you can bring to your camp.
I think we should do both, because absolutely the council member will probably listen more to his or her constituents because they're the ones who actually vote. But we can't stop because, you know, each one of us has only one council member, and you need at least 26. Right. So the thing to do is call. I mean, I have called every single one of the 51 members on a bill. So you just pick up the phone and just call and speak to. And the thing to do is generally speak to the legislative director because they are the ones who push for a bill.
Is that the same as the aide, is it an aide or director? There are people who work for the legislative body that are influential.
Well, each council member generally has their own staff. And so once they come in, the thing we have to realize also, these legislative directors, they move a lot. They are not in that position for long. So you can establish a relationship with someone, and then before you know it, they moved to a different position.
That happened to me within a week of contacting somebody.
Exactly. So you just keep trying and keep, you know, persevering and be persistent and make yourself a nuisance if you have to, because we really believe in what we were trying to do.
And I should mention that that I know we're talking about environmental laws. So you'd think that the Democrats are the only people who you can talk to and it works, but that isn't necessarily true. I was the person who got a Republican sponsor to ban uranium mining in the state of New York, and he was absolutely instrumental in getting that law passed, and we got a 10-year ban on uranium mining. When the New York State Senate voted on commercial net metering, the Republicans supported it better than the Democrats did. So you can't assume that their party designation will make them a friend or an enemy. Talk to everybody. And treat them as a friend, because they might very well be.
I remember when, I think it was January 2015 or so, when there was a bill up to allow towns to sell off their water system without a popular referendum, which had previously been required. And come October, all the, you know, we first saw a notification of the bill, and all the big greens kind of went, nobody did too much. January comes along and everybody's out there lobbying really hard for it. And one of the folks who opposed the bill, who supported the people's having the right to referendum, is one of the most conservative Republicans in Trenton, Gerald Cardinale. And he made a very excellent speech. He really believes that, you know, people have the right to make their own choices. So, I would have not expected that, but...
Yeah. I totally agree with with what Sally said, and especially what Ken said, because I think environmental issues it's not a partisan issue. Everybody wants clean air, clean water. Everyone needs safe home to live in. So It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Let's just not look at someone's party affiliation, even though we sort of assume Democrats are more progressive, but you really cannot assume that. And I would just say, if you want to have something passed, then you know what? Call every single one of the 51 city council members.
The other thing is that if they're a committee chairperson or the speaker or president of the Senate, whatever, they have a bigger constituency than just their own constituents.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I also learned quite a few years ago that if you want to have a meeting with your city councilman, you call their office and ask to speak to the scheduler.
Yes.
Because they're the person who maintains the calendar of him or her. And so that's the person who will say, well, they're available on this date and time. And if you are in touch with any environmental group that has experts or can be in touch with experts, get them to come with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had a wonderful meeting with Steve Levin about the fact that buildings don't have energy taken into account for the building code. And I brought Chris Benedict with me, who's probably the greenest architect east of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And at first, because I, the one who scheduled the meeting, he's talking to me, and it took him maybe two minutes to realize, no, the person to talk to was Chris. and he spoke with her the whole time. And I was watching him take notes, mm-hmm. which is something, you know, sort of pay attention to that. If they're taking notes, they're listening, and they're going to repeat this information to somebody else. And what he did, he had a bunch of questions for there, good questions. And then he looks at his watch, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he goes, oh, my legislative aide just came out of a meeting. He's got to hear this.
Mm. All right. Yes.
And brought him in. So clearly legislative aide is very important.
Yes.
They're the ones who kind of make the legislation, write it, and deal with the other legislative
aides. Which is what I was saying before, yeah.
So, Congressman Levin read his notes to his legislative aide.
Mm. Right.
And I'm going, whoa, those are good notes. and then the aide and Chris Benedict had a talk about architecture and energy in the bill. And it made an impression because at the next several public hearings I went to, there was Steve Levin on the panel asking questions of people from the Department of Buildings of New York City. And they were very detailed, knowledgeable questions based on what Chris told them and the notes he took. That conversation had far-reaching impact because mm-hmm. he's bringing out that information a year later.
Yeah, I was at part of a group that had a nuclear decommissioning briefing in Washington, D.C. back in March. And we had a meeting with the two Vermont senators, and they said, give us questions that we can ask at hearings. So, you know, that's...
It's amazing. When I was younger, I was so cynical about all politicians. None of them care. They're all selfish. And I found out that they're not.
I really think a lot of them get into it for the right reason, and it's very hard to stay, you know, motivated and ethical and with all the demands and the need for raising money and so forth.
The culture of it all.
The power culture and the money culture.
But when you're working
bad.
When you're working on a local level, you have a much better chance. Which is
yes.
what this talk tonight is about: is working
right,
with the city council. Because when you work on a local level, you can get things done.
Yeah,
I think so. I truly believe that they are human beings. They care. They have children. They have grandchildren, and they want them to be healthy. So I think they really do care. Most of them are caring people. And so I think we just need to stay positive and don't become cynical
right.
because we just have to keep working at it.
Well, let's take your phone calls for Ling Chao and Sally Gellert. 212-209-2877. We already have somebody on the... Oh, no, we lost them.
Oops.
So please call back. 212-209-2877. 2877 and let's talk about how to get things done. It's enough to, you know, we can complain, but we want to fix things as well.
One of the big victories we had recently in Woodcliff Lake was a zoning victory opposing an overdevelopment apartment building that really didn't belong where it was being put, and the zoning board listened.
So 212-209-2877, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's Tom from the Bronx here. How are you?
Hi.
I'd like to say that there was an advertisement out on the commercial, the regular stations, commercial stations, that had said that.
Be quick.
Would you like to have the pipelines, or would you rather have truck congestion? Because it's the type of ad that says, "Well, we're going to send you this filthy oil down."
Sure, we've heard those ads, and I know everybody here
whether you like it or not.
Say.
The only thing they didn't say is we're going to send it to you whether you like
okay,
it or
well,
not.
Okay, well, let's have Ling and Sally reply to that.
Well, we do basically need to limit the amount of fossil fuels that we use. We're pulling resources out of the ground that are finite, and we're going to run out. So they can advertise that, but we need to stand strong and limit.
And so what would be the next step in passing legislation to that end?
Well, we're fighting liquefied natural gas plant down in South Jersey, and we're doing moratorium Mondays in New Jersey, calling the governor every Monday saying we want a moratorium on new fossil fuel development. Keep the old stuff until we move over to renewables, but let's not spend more money on this stuff.
And are the council members being addressed on this issue? Of course they are.
Well, my feeling is that if we keep building pipelines, we will always be tied to them because these pipelines are so expensive.
Right.
And once they're built, it's another 50 years, and we don't have another 50 years. So the best thing is really stop building any new pipelines and whatever we build now, and we really need to build renewable energy sources.
Yeah. That's why that news from the meeting that Sally and I were at on Sunday was so wonderful that they tried to say, oh, yeah, if you stop the pipelines, we're not going to give you any gas at all. And the answer was, okay, we won't use your gas. We don't need it at all. We're going to solarize the building. And all of a sudden, they're like, oops.
And that was an Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 212-209-2877. You're on the air. Hi. You're on the air.
Don't be shy.
Okay, we had a lot of callers, so I'm going to have to be quick. 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Rose from Flemington.
Hi.
I want to make a couple of quick points. Whether it's that dirty old oil that used to cover everything in New York, or if it's natural gas, there's always a price. I don't care how clean it is. I live with natural gas, and I can't stomach this stuff. I worked as an interior designer in New York City and realized that 8 out of 10 apartments had that little tiny square of like 9 little holes up by the ceiling in the kitchen, which was supposed to vent out your air, your bad stuff. And there were really no ways of attaching a vent system to that to get this irradiated natural gas fumes out of your kitchen. But what I would like to say is this, that, I'm so glad there are people doing the fight. I'm an unfortunately blind person, and I can't do a whole lot, but I want to say this much. How we will get it is economic. And if you can get that thermostat down, 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 if you, my apartment is just nothing but wall-to-wall drapes. I pick them up at yard sales. And stuff. I hang them on pipes and brackets, and I do it for two reasons. A, because it's a drafty dump, and I can turn my heat down. But secondly, it's great against noisy neighbors and traffic outside and what have you. If people will start to do the economic reversal that this industry deserves, mm-hmm. they're going to have to listen. one of the things that I've found very effective in the summertime is to tape on space blanket onto the glass or even out on the frame of the window and leave that little bit of space to keep the heat out. I also use two sets of shears, which also manages to pick up an amazing amount of dust.
But Rose, you're talking about lowering energy use, which is near and dear to my heart, but we do want to talk about legislation and things like that. So you have any
questions for our guests? I agree. Yeah, well, I'm just saying that the natural gas situation, when that went in, I just about died. I said, my God, all these poor people are getting all that radon-filled natural gas. Mm-hmm. That's just wonderful. And I mean, it's sick.
Yeah.
And God bless you all. Thank you so much. Right. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Rose.
Thanks for your call.
Rose is a regular listener. We love Rose.
And boy, we are getting a lot of calls for this. 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Hi, Ken. It's Paula.
Hi. Oh, Paula. Hey.
Let me just turn this down a little bit. Hi. Really, we're very involved in things here in New Jersey. I'm going to give you a couple websites where you can get information about our battle against the power plants, compressor stations.
Speak up a little. We're having trouble hearing you.
Ah, okay.
Great.
Let me give you these two people, your listeners, these two websites so that they can get involved in our battle here.
What battle?
Against the power frack gas power plants, compressor stations, and pipelines.
In New Jersey.
We're battling away in New Jersey. So they can go to NoMeadowlandsPowerPlant.com or EmpowerNewJersey.com. And these are very, very large organizations with a whole lot of environmental groups and community groups who are working together to get a moratorium that Sally was talking about, moratorium on all new fossil fuel developments. And we're battling Governor Murphy, who, you know, campaigned on the promise of transitioning to 100% renewable energy, but he has not kept his promise, and he is not interested at this point in issuing a moratorium on fossil fuel plants and other developments. So we're nonstop, day and night, working on that.
Wait, name the websites again.
NoMeadowlandsPowerPlant.com and EmpowerNewJersey.com. New Jersey spelled out.
Okay. Empower New Jersey.
Empower.
EMPOWER.
Yeah. So the other thing is the bill about pesticides and banning Roundup in New York City. That was an initiative of my kindergarten students in 2014. And Ben Kalos introduced it because the kids begged him to.
Wow.
It took a long time. You were talking about the process of getting a hearing. It took a couple of years. It took till 2017 to get a hearing on the bill. It was introduced in 2015. 2017, it got a hearing. And 60 of my students went down, and about 60 family members took the subway down and presented a skit to the city council. That bill ran out when Kalos's term ended. So we worked, a number of groups worked together to get it reintroduced and stronger.
And of course, those kids were on Ecologic because Charlie Olson from Environment TV recorded them.
Yeah. You can see that Charlie's recording is on YouTube. No Way, Don't Spray, Ban Toxic Pesticides. But the new bill is called Intro 1524. And we're very excited about it. We have it was said that we have 19 co-sponsors, and it's very easy to get involved because the website, which I'm going to give you, Parks for Kids New York and parksforkidsnyc.org, has scientific information, resources, so you can learn more about the issue, information about this specific bill, who to call, their phone numbers, their email, or their snail mail address.
And that information will be on our EcoLeaks page.
It's already there now.
It's already there now. So we don't have to, because people are more likely to look at that online.
So ecoradio.org and go to the EcoLinks page, and you'll get all of this.
That's great. Please get your...
And I'm going to add the ones on the compressor station that you mentioned.
Great. Yeah. Do we have any callers? If we have any more callers that would like to know more about getting legislation passed, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, thank you, Paula.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Paula.
Great
Paula,
listening.
Paula Rogovin, another absolutely wonderful environmentalist.
212-209-2877 is our call-in number.
And you're on the air.
Ken Gale?
Yep, you're on the air.
How you doing? It's the first time I'm calling your show. You have a wonderful show. And you sound so much like Linda Perry. I thought you were siblings. I know you heard that one before.
I don't know if Linda's going to think of that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, the thing was, when I found out about Newark's water situation, I was not surprised. Because I know Jersey has some of the most dirtiest water, next to New York. Because, it's a major metropolis. You have the airport there. You have the Secaucus, the wetlands. That water looks brown, man. I'm assuming that anything off the coast, like the shore, Atlantic City, they probably have a little bit cleaner water, because that's there by the ocean. But I was not surprised. I just wasn't surprised. Just like in Flint, Michigan. But I didn't think that the problem was we had this problem in the Northeast Corridor.
Right. Newark had a similar problem that Flint, Michigan did. Sure.
Part of the problem is the pH of the water, which reacts with the pipes. Apparently, if the pH is wrong and they don't treat it properly, it's a huge issue.
pH is a measure of acidity.
Right.
And if the pH is too low, that means the water is very acidic. And as we all know, acid can eat metal, and does eat metal. So, yeah, that is something to worry about. So I guess we have time for one more caller, and so that's going to be you. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking the call. I had about three things to tell you. And number one, I hope that the city is televised so that people can see what's happening, how the sausage is being made, and they may get upset and want to vote and lobby and call these people.
Oh, there is video
on the
council website. Yeah, Ling is
and nodding. It goes on a government access channel, does it? So that everybody in New York City can see it that has cable?
I think every public hearing, certainly every hearing for every bill is videoed.
I'm talking about the meetings themselves, the meetings when they all get together, the 51 people together. But anyway,
I do not know that for sure.
The second point I wanted to say is that I loved, Ken, your commentary on the Democrats in Colorado, and I loved your talking about how closer to the people. It's a very good analysis there, and I just want to say that there is a website, runprimaries.webs, that's webs, W-E-B, for brilliant, S for strategy, plural, webs.com, runprimaries.webs.com, that you can go to, because, Ken, I do want to tell you, you do not need the permission of the Democratic Party leaders to run a primary.
No, you don't.
You can independently collect signatures and give a surprise party to the Democratic Party bosses.
Yep.
And then have a primary with progressive candidates, and which is the other third point I wanted to make, is that one of these people, or actually 51 of these people should be able to find people to run next time, because it's a little too late now for this time, and you should be running yourself so that you do not have to find a legislator, city council person, or the speaker. You actually take the reins and you become the government that you want and you write the laws. All you'll have to get is 26 people voted out of the 51 that you run primaries for.
And I'll add what you can, how much good you can do even if you lose. A friend of mine living in Jackson Heights did not like that his Democratic city councilman was acting much more like a corporate Republican.
Yes.
And so he ran in the primary and he got phone calls at home from the Democratic Party. We don't run against incumbents. And he said, well, if he act like a Democrat, I wouldn't be running. And he said that to everyone who called him. And so what happened? The councilman started acting more like a Democrat.
That's
he
right.
moved toward his constituents. When he realized that his constituents was so angry that they put in a primary challenger, he changed. And so my friend got trounced, and people are calling him up and saying, oh, sorry, you got beaten. He goes, I didn't lose. I got him to do what we wanted. That's the whole
That's
point.
Right.
So
That's
you
right.
can win even when you lose, just by taking part in the electoral process. And I really can't believe I'm saying this. But anyway, so thank
That's
you very
right.
much.
And,
we've come to the end of the show.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye now.
And I'm Ken Gale.
Donna Stein.
Ling Zhou.
Sally Gellert.
And I'm going to go out with some music by Michael Glick, which I mentioned earlier. He's going to be at People's Voice Cafe on September 21st, 40 East 35th Street. And so thank you very much, Ling and Sally.
Thank
the
you.
The hour just zoomed by, which is
thank
always
you.
A good sign.
Yes.
So thanks a lot.
If you wonder where your money went, tax cuts for the 1%. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you fear your health care will be gone, and this game of life you're just a pawn. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. With rising waters, forest fires, deaths from storms are getting high. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When murder cannot be appealed, cause the badge they're wearing is a shield. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. When coal miners waiting for their jobs don't realize that they've been robbed. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When there's no food for a child, people vote for pedophiles. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. With Nazis marching in the streets, getting praise from White House tweets. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When a match is lit to the Middle East, no thought for justice, none for peace. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. Where native lands were set aside, all drilling now is justified. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. And protesters who are attacked are criticized for fighting back. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When there's bullying taking place in streets by people who once dressed in sheets, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. And when fools believe the earth is flat, science not taken for a fact, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. When they love their guns more than a child, society's in deep denial. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When Puerto Rico is ignored by a lying, thieving, racist fraud. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. When kids are torn from families, not one of us is truly free. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. And if they're just sending thoughts and prayers, that shows that they don't really care. If you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, you are not listening. If you're not outraged, if you're not outraged, if you are not outraged, you are not listening.
Hi, I'm Ken Gale of WBAI's Tuesday evening environmental show Ecologic. One of the cool things about being a BAI buddy is that you get to decide what WBAI is worth to you. Are we worth more than your cable TV? Or 10 bucks a month? 20, 100, a million? Just go to the WBAI.org website and sign up with your credit card. You'll barely notice it. In return, you get a WBAI tote bag to show off, free or discounted entry to special WBAI events and other perks. Another cool thing about being a BAI buddy is less fundraising interruptions to your favorite programs. Go to WBAI.org. You can donate in the name of your favorite show, like Ecologic.
All right. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Out